It's Sextastic Tuesday on Distorted View.
It's just a fun thing.
Crystal meth loose is dropping my bow.
It's family and milkshake.
Cosmos.
That was beautiful, precious.
Timmy Boo.
My big, fat, nasty ass in a thong.
Bitch.
Away.
My sweet turd.
Hey, freaks, Dimension with you, back for the Tuesday edition of DB. Thank you so much for joining me. Got a great show for you. It's an extended one. Sideshow Freaks will get 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes of bonus content. Also, brand new edition of Sextastic Tuesday. We'll get into that in just a moment. I had a very busy night yesterday. I spent a lot of it with Cheryl Murkowski.
Oh, racy.
We did a 45-minute interview with someone who I firmly believe is retarded. If you are a fan of viral videos, if you follow that type of thing, or you just like shitty music, chances are you know exactly who we spoke to. Now, in the entire history of bad music, if you look at it as a timeline, this woman lies somewhere between Mrs. Miller and Linda Finkel. Recorded in 1993, Jan Terry's Losing You has been described as the worst music video of all time. She is, however, a lyrical genius with lines such as, "My heart is open like an open book." She also has a speech impediment, which, you know, I love. Yeah, Cheryl Murkowski and I interviewed her.
I don't
want to
lose you tonight.
There she is.
You're the only thing that matters. I don't want to lose you this way. Just need your love.
So, almost as interesting as the interview itself is the backstory of how this all came about, how Cheryl and I worked this out, and the post interview interaction between Jan Terry and Cheryl Murkowski. So on the sideshow portion of the show today, I want to talk about that. Tomorrow I will play the interview for you guys. I will tell you this. You know, Jan Terry's been on The Daily Show. She's been interviewed on television, radio, newspapers. But I guarantee you've never heard an interview like this. You know, it's Cheryl Murkowski. So there's a lot of abortion and prolapse talk. Jan Terry didn't like me so much. We'll get into all of that. Most of that will be aired tomorrow, but I do want to talk a little bit about the behind-the-scenes stuff on the sideshow. Right now, though, let's get into Sextastic Tuesday. This is a silly bit where I try to find really bad internet porn, specifically sex stories. A lot of people think they can write erotic fiction, and most of it is bad. I try to look for stories that are beyond bad. That are a step below subpar. Maybe these stories are just poorly written. Maybe they're disgusting or weird, but they're the bottom of the barrel. Those are the stories I'm looking for. Let's get into today's right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Sextastic Tuesday.
It's Sextastic.
Yes, today's story is entitled Bobby Was the Boss. This is part two, so I hope we're not lost. Bobby never washed before seeing me. I guess he figured he'd have to wash up again anyway when he was done. He also never pulled back his foreskin when he pissed. When he got a boner and the head was exposed, there was always a ricotta coating for me to deal with. Oh, smegma tastes bitter and it stinks. But after a while, I'd miss it if he'd been clean. I got good at pleasuring him. I learned from his reactions what sort of tongue action he liked best. Slobbering on his balls made his penis go from 0 to 60 in seconds. When I blew him, I'd concentrate on rubbing my tongue on the back of his dick at the point where the foreskin attaches to the shaft. It made him shiver with pleasure. He rarely hit me anymore. Good. Just as well. Though I really kind of liked him smacking me around. I didn't want to be damaged. Bobby was big and strong enough to hurt me seriously, even if he didn't mean to. spoken like a victim. About the only time I got hit anymore was when I resisted some new debasement. The first time he told me to get my face into his ass crack and lick his asshole and suck on it, I was put off because he wasn't clean, and the stench itself hit me like a blow. A rap across the face, and then another convinced me I was going to do what he wanted. One way or another, I said, "Okay, okay, uncle." He turned his ass to me again. Reaching back, he grabbed my hair and forced my face into his crack. It was my first experience with actually having a brown nose. Brown around my lips, too. Afterward, he washed my face in his piss. He cared enough to give me his handkerchief to wipe my face. "Keep it," he said. Bobby always finished by pissing in my face and in my mouth because he liked to. And he said, because I needed to be reminded that I was a low-life piss-drinking fag who wasn't much good except as a toilet. See, he does love me. I guess I kind of realized that we were a couple when on a Sunday afternoon in November, Bobby asked me over to meet his dad and watch a football game. Billy Metry answered the door. He must have been young when Bobby was born. He looked no older than 39 or 40. He took me into the living room where Bobby told me what a real helpful pal I was. Father and son each had easy chairs. I was conveyed to the couch. Like his son, Billy had a trim, hard, working man's body, but he was shorter than Bobby. And while Bobby wore his dark brown hair to collar length, his dad wore a crew cut. From the questions I asked about the game, it must have been obvious I knew nothing about football. Conversation grew to an awkward stop, and we all stared at the TV. Bill broke the silence. I'll get us a beer, he said. Let him go get the beer, Bobby said. Jimmy, they're in the fridge in the kitchen. Go find them. As I passed Bill's chair, I saw him out of the corner of my eye raise his palms and hunch his shoulders, as if he were asking Bobby, where'd you find this nerd? From the kitchen, I couldn't hear what Bobby was saying, but I heard his father say, oh. And then, hell, why be shy about it? You work hard. This is your home, Bobby. Enjoy. Bobby said something else that I couldn't hear, and his father hooted, a fag breaker, just like his dad. Oh, boy. I heard Bill say triumphantly, as I approached the living room with two beers and a soda, Bill reached across to his son and firmly shook his hand. I gave each of them a beer and rested my cola on the coffee table. Hey, Jimmy, this isn't the cellar. Make yourself comfortable. Why don't you get naked? All naked. Take everything off. Do it, Jim, Bill encouraged. I couldn't understand why my son would have such a wimp for a pal, but you're a special kind of pal, aren't you? My son tells me you're his fag. Is that true? I flushed and nodded my head as I stripped. A minute later, I was naked. I had removed Bill's socks as he directed. I was flat on my belly and I was sucking his toes. I might have knelt, but Bill didn't want me blocking his view of the television. I like that, he affirmed, enjoying his shrimping. He held his feet together so I could brush all his toes with my spit without a break. Bobby, there's nothing like a tongue massage for your feet. Your mother used to do it for me. She was good. Jimmy's good, too. I'll try it sometime, Bobby said, but I got other things for this faggot to do. His father was oblivious to his son's hint. He separated his feet, sticking out his left. Show me respect, he said. Put as much of my foot in your mouth as you can. Whoa! But I dared not question. I tried to oblige. I was able to get all the toes in my mouth, but not much more. You can do better than that, fag! Here, he said, standing up. I'll teach you both a lesson. Lay on your back. Faggo, is it? Faggo the clown. He looked down at me and cocked his chin. I opened my mouth. Bill braced himself with his hand against the wall and proceeded to gradually fit about half his big foot in my mouth. I was choking and expecting my jaw to pop. See, Bobby? Never take a fag's word for it. They'll always try to get off easy, just like women. But they can always take more of anything you want to dish out. Mercifully, Bill withdrew his foot and I gasped for breath, relieved that my jaw was intact. Yeah, Dad, that's nice, but I wanted him to suck my asshole. Oh, it's okay with me, said his father. I like how this family works. Good dynamics. Bobby got out of his slacks, and without being told, I crawled over and pushed my face right into the sanctum. That hairy, marvelously musty place. I began slurping and sucking noisily on Bobby's dirty hole. You hear that, Pop? He's a fucking pig! This fag loves to suck on my asshole, don't you? I nodded without stopping. Piggy, he taunted, grasping the back of my head, crushing my face deeper into his hole. I knew he liked me to make sloppy animal-like noises when my face was in his crack. Without further prompting, I started making grunting, snorting sounds that made them both roar. Bobby grabbed my hair and pulled me up from his crack. You really are a pig. He pressed his thumb to the base of my... He pressed his thumb to the base of his dick, making it bend towards my lips. Now suck on this for a while. You plowed him yet? His dad asked, whacking his dick. Nah, I don't want to take a chance on getting fag shit on my dick. A valid concern. You know, this just reminded me of an idea I had. Another brilliant million-dollar product. So this is for gay guys, really. But I guess anyone could really use it. Girls could, strippers might want to use this. But it's this glitter that you eat, and it doesn't really digest, so it comes out in your shit. So your shit is coated in glitter. So fag shit would be all sparkly. I think that would be kind of cool. Gay people love sparkly stuff, right? All right, so you know, if anyone can help me out with that project as well, I'm going to put that up on Kickstarter tonight. All right, as soon as we get done with Bill's campaign, I'm starting my own Kickstarter. All right, who cares? If he gets you shitty, he'll clean you up. He better, Bill said. I'm going to break him in for you. Bill headed for the bathroom cabinet and hustled back with a jar of petroleum jelly. See, this is why the story's not believable. If these guys really wanted to rape a fag, go in dry. Who the hell cares if it hurts? My ass was already in the air while my mouth worked on Bobby's dick. Bill handed me the jar and told me to grease up good. I did the best I could without interrupting my work for Bobby. Good fag. Good faggo. As Bill pushed in, the pain was tolerable. In spite of the gruff talk, Bill was considerate enough to start nice and slow. But after a while, the increasing intensity was becoming too much for me. I knew that asking for a break was the worst thing I could do. Rest! Rest! Same thing goes for fisting.
Stop a moment. Oh, let me rest. Oh, fuck.
Anyway, to get my mind off of my sphincter, I put my whole concentration on giving Bobby the best damn hum job he ever had. Finally, Bill shot, then Bobby. When at last my holes were empty, I dropped to the floor for a rest. Everyone rested. Rest! 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 All right. Bill went back to his chair. He stuck his foot out and tussled my hair with it. Good fag, he said softly. See, Dad? He's a live one, said Bobby. Before the afternoon was over, I cleaned off Bill's dick, sucked his asshole as I'd done for Bobby, and had my thirst quenched with their piss. They had me kneel in the bathtub. Bill and Bobby stood side by side, Dad's arm around his son's waist, as together they relieved themselves into my wide-open mouth. I wish I had that kind of relationship with my father. They were so close. They could do anything together. All right, Bill had a good time. So had Bobby. And though I thought my jaw would fall off by the end of the day, so did I. But I never had the pleasure of Bobby's dad again. He died. No. I could only figure that Bobby preferred being my sole controller. It was back to late night in the cellar for the rest of the time I serviced him. By Christmas, Bobby had a girlfriend named Kathy, and he said he no longer needed me. Oh, I knew the gal from school. She seemed normal to me, but if she was doing half the things I did for him, she must have been a secret masochist. Hey, so was I. I hardly saw him at all after he got with her. When I graduated college, I moved downtown where I could live by myself, openly. But I'm grateful to Bobby for bringing me out and introducing me to all the things I love to do. The end. There you go. That's your Sextastic Tuesday for April 23rd, 2013, brought to you by our amazing friends at AdamandEve.com. For a limited time, check this shit out. You can get 50% off, half off just about any item in their vast catalog using coupon code FREAK. FREAK or coupon code DV at checkout. You enter that promo code, you save 50% on the cost of a vibrator, a dildo, a pocket pussy, toys for him, toys for her, lingerie, costumes, lube, other necessities for sex. As a matter of fact, look, I know a lot of you guys are hard up. You don't have a girlfriend. May I suggest to you the oral cock training stroker? This thing looks like a mouth, right? You stick your dick in it, it makes you feel good, but there's also some training purposes. So when you eventually get a girlfriend, when you have a real mouth to suck your dick, you're not going to blow your load instantly. Yes, you never know when you're going to get some action, so be ready. Practicing, pacing yourself, keeping your erection going longer and harder with this amazing kit. You lube up your erect member, then slide into 5 inches of sexy soft Fanta-flesh lips, and then you start stroking. The digital counter attached to the device sees how long you can last. The next session, increase your best time by adjusting your strokes. It's just that easy. Guys, this is an amazing product. The Oral Cock Training Stroker. Girls, there's great stuff for you as well, like the Royal Rabbit Vibrator Kit. Oh, tons of attachments to pleasure your cunt. Go there right now, adamandeve.com. Use coupon code FREAK, F-R-E-A-K, at checkout. There's a little promo code box. In addition to receiving 50% off, you're also going to get 3 free adult DVDs, a mystery gift, and it's all going to be sent to you free of charge. No shipping whatsoever. AdamandEve.com, coupon code FREAK or DV. All right. Let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted, the fucked up news right now. You've got to check out that stroker. A bunch of lips with a counter on it. It's bizarre. All right, AdamandEve.com. I love that they make, you know, something that already feels good, like masturbating, and they turn it into a fun game. How long can you hold up? All right, listen, if you're not a Sideshow member, sign up right now, superfreaksideshow.com. It is our member site where every week members get all sorts of great exclusive content. On Tuesdays, I do extended shows. Thursdays, I do exclusive programs. I do video casts. The entire archive of shows are up at superfreaksideshow.com. Well over 2,000 programs, plus specials like DV Shitty Night at the Movies, our old DVDAs, bonus videos. Just tons of stuff. Go there right now, superfreaksideshow.com, and support the program. Speaking of supporting, I have to thank all of you freaks who donated to Bill's Kickstarter campaign. He has officially, it's over with now, and they reached their goal. I know many of you freaks donated, so that was awesome. Thank you so much, for supporting Bill and his amazing artwork. All right, 3 quick stories, then we'll get the hell out of here for stuff. What the hell is pixie porn? I have no idea, but if you live in New Zealand, it could send you to jail. A New Zealand man has been placed in jail for watching cartoon videos of pixies, elves, and other fantasy creatures having sex. Is that wrong? Should I have not done that? Ronald Clark downloaded the digitally created pornography 3 years ago. He has previous... Is that illegal in New Zealand? What's wrong with watching porn? Cartoon porn. If that were the case, everyone would be behind bars in Japan. Every single person over there. He has previous convictions for indecently assaulting a teenage boy, but the Japanese anime cartoons... Oh, they were anime. Okay. This all makes sense now. The Japanese anime cartoons he was found with were, well, anime cartoons. Clark said that the videos are part of the Japanese tradition of manga and hentai, which, of course, is cartoon porn, said Clark's lawyer, Roger Bowden. He said that the cartoons obviously did not show real people, and, quote, you knew at a glance they weren't human. Yeah, of course, they're pixies and elves. He says that his client's conviction for possessing objectionable material was the law gone mad. Wait a second here. Hold it. Let's apply the brakes and think about this for a second. Is it because he has previous convictions for assaulting a teenage boy and that made him like a sex criminal? And so now he's not allowed to possess porn? See, I think convicted sex offenders should be able to watch all the porn they want to. They're not allowed to have the real thing anymore, the way they want it. What's wrong with fantasizing? It's in my brain. If you could just see the sick shit I think about when I masturbate, I'd be behind bars too, probably. I can't figure out, though, if his prior convictions have anything to do with why he got in trouble because ECPAT Child Alert Director Alan Bell believes that the suggestive images are illegal because they prompt people to, quote, migrate from there to the real thing. He was watching pixies, elves, and fairies having sex. You can't, if you wanted to go to the real thing, you couldn't because they don't exist. Well, I mean, some people believe fairies are real.
We once asked the fairies, what kind of food can we put out for you? If you have ever communicated with a fairy, they are very straightforward. They told us, we like milk that you can put in tiny cups or holders.
Oh.
Well, we thought, that's easy enough to accomplish. Then they added, and drizzle some honey around the rim of the glass. Oh, how special is that, we said. Then they added, and slightly warm the honey, please. We started laughing at the specificity of our dear fairies, and as I said before, that is the way it is when you communicate with fairies.
Okay, all right. All right. Leave out milk drizzled with hot honey, says the fairy about fairies. All right, finishing up with this story here. The distribution of it is damaging, Bill said. You have to ask, what impact does it have, even if it's not harming an individual child? Bill conceded that no child was harmed during the image's creation, but they still represented a big problem. What? Lincoln University philosophy lecturer Grant Trevenor said, the worrying thing is that viewing or distributing such images could support the sexual exploitation of children, even if the production of the images did not actually involve the exploitation of any child. What? So this is blowing my mind. How could you say this is hurting children if it has nothing to do with children? No real children were harmed. There weren't even any real children in the imagery. But I guess fairies are small people, and so are children. That's where the connection is made? This world has gone topsy-turvy. I'm totally going to masturbate to an elf tonight, and there's nothing you can do about it. All right, the ways a person entertains themselves is not morally negligible. This is probably an additional factor in the current case, because as well as worrying about the effects these activities might have on children, we also naturally make moral judgments about the character of the person in question. Clark has said that he was not sexually aroused by the cartoon, so there you go. You know who was attracted to cartoons? Joey. You remember Joe, right? He loved the father from American Dad. He loved Stan Smith. I think because, you know, in the opening credits, he wakes up and he's in his underwear and he's shirtless. They should put Joe behind bars with this shoe. Joe, don't ever visit New Zealand. All right, second story we have for you today. Talent scouts have been looking for Sweden's next top model outside the country's largest eating disorder clinics in Stockholm. Well, it makes sense. That's where you'd find them. You know, if these allegations are true, it's despicable. Really bad behavior, said psychologist Andres Bergard, chair of the Swedish Anorexia and Bulimia Society. Well, that sounds like a fun group. For people who have an illness centered around weight and looks, it's catastrophic to throw them into a business. Well, this is a good thing, right? They probably feel like shit in that clinic. Awful. It's depressing. And then someone says, oh my God, you're beautiful. And I have to take your picture, and you're going to get paid to be in these photo spreads. That builds up their self-esteem. I guess it also does sort of reinforce their eating disorder. But whatever. You take the good, you take the bad. You take them both, and there you have the facts of... I'm sorry. I had a Skittle, and I could not afford the calories. Had to get that out of there. Whew. All right, for people who have an illness centered around weight and looks, it's catastrophic to throw them into a business that focuses on exactly those things. Fucking vultures just hanging around the anorexia clinic. Bingard's reaction came following reports that patients at the Stockholm Center for Eating Disorders had been approached by agents looking to recruit new models. We think this is repugnant. People have stood outside our clinic and tried to pick up our girls because they know they are very thin, said Chief Doctor Anna Maria Offsandelberg. It sends the wrong signal when girls are being treated for eating disorders. The last incident took place a year ago when the clinic was forced to change its procedures for walk-ins One of the patients who was approached by a scout was so ill she was sitting in a wheelchair at the time. It remains unclear. I'm sorry, it's kind of funny. It remains unclear if one or several agencies were responsible for sending scouts to recruit models at the clinic. In one incident, an agent with one of Sweden's largest modeling agencies approached a 14-year-old girl and left a business card with her. That must have felt like a brick to that poor anorexic girl. I can't lift this up to read it. Too heavy. All right. The girl's mother and care coordinator, Christina Lilman Ringborg, later confronted the agent, explaining that the girl suffered from a serious illness. They claim that they approach healthy, normal, slim young girls and that they never urge anyone to lose weight. That's how they defend themselves. I was so upset because this girl was so skinny, says Lilman Ringborg. Many of the girls who were approached last year were in their teens. Some patients have a body mass index as low as 14. A healthy BMI is somewhere between 18.5 and 24.9 on the scale, which is a measurement of a person's height-to-weight ratio. The clinic has room for 1,700 patients at any one time. The Stockholm Center for Eating Disorders cares for out- and inpatients with facilities to care for whole families, blah, 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 blah. Whatever. The point is, if you're looking for a thin girlfriend with low self-esteem, my favorite kind, you know where to hang out. All right, final story we have for you today. Over the weekend, without warning, Amazon has angered thousands of people, mostly smut purveyors. Yes, Amazon removed the ability of anything rated adult to show up in a search on its main website. Upmarket porn is still there, but to find it, you have to go into the books or Kindle section and search specifically for the title you're looking for. Previously, this sort of filtering had been applied to books which contained things like incest, and quite right, but now, oh really, that's okay? Well, where do you draw the line? So it's okay to censor incest, but not, you know, S&M, like 50 Shades of Grey type of sex? But now it's across the board on all erotic fiction. Even 50 Shades of Grey, one of the most ubiquitous books in the world right now, is caught by the filter. Obviously, this makes it much harder to find ordinary smut. As a result, publishers, authors, and readers are up in arms. It's a pornocost, said like a holocaust, but a pornocost, said one online erotica author. The grumbles of writers in the erotica industry are well-founded. Quote, we sell a huge amount of books through Amazon, yet we're treated with utter contempt. We aren't even allowed to classify our books, said another author. You know who doesn't censor their searches? Adam and Eve. Oh, you type big fat cock. Your mind will be blown with all the results you get. Use coupon code FREAK or DV at checkout for big fat cocks. Rubber, vinyl, wooden, all sorts of dildos. I don't know if they sell wooden dildos. Remember that old woman who would whittle the wooden dildos? Gildo, I think was her name. Her name was Jill, and her dildos were called Gildos. I wonder what happened to her. She should really work with Adam and Eve. I think that would be a hot seller. All right, where are we at here? It's not just Amazon, of course. Plenty of other high-tech companies are ludicrously prudish. Apple, for instance, is notorious for maintaining a no-porn rule in the App Store, as well as banning smutty books from its iBook Store charts, even joining repressive Middle Eastern regimes in refusing to publish books because the covers display female backs and bottoms. Come on, Amazon, seriously. If someone types in wet cunts in your stupid search box, do you really think they're going to be offended when some, you know, porn Kindle titles pop up? Oh, for the love of Christ, so dumb. Some old woman's confused. I thought that was the type of Bible, like the NIV or King James. You know, the wet cunt Bible. All right, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. That, my friends, is your distorted news for Tuesday. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. All right, what say you, freaks?
Hey, Tim, this is first-time caller Hambone here.
Hi, Hambone.
And I heard you talking on today's episode about masturbating and shouldn't come into your belly button or some shit like that.
Yeah.
But have you ever whacked off with a banana peel? I mean,
I've heard of doing that.
Take out the banana, of course, fill it up with a little water, and put it in the microwave for like 10 seconds. It's like, it's indescribable, but it feels good. It also cleans up the mess when you're done.
Thanks. All right. So if you can't afford a masturbator through Adam and Eve, and I don't know why you wouldn't be able to afford it when you get 50% off using coupon code FREAKERDV, you can create a makeshift pussy using a banana, some water, and you just warm it up a little bit in the microwave. Don't leave it in there too long, though. Burn your cock off. All right, great tip.
Hey, Timothy James Henson. It is Lifetime Sideshow member Sterling here.
Hi, Sterling.
A couple of things. First off, your dramatic recitation of the sorority girl letter was brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
You need to clip that and get that out there because I can't be alone in finding it absolutely magnificent. second thing, you were asking about a doula, what a doula was. It was in that stupid article about people who are just letting their kids shit and piss all over the place. Basically, a doula is a person who comes and helps new parents after they've had a baby. Oh. So, like, a woman's gotten a episiotomy, you know, that thing where they clip her so that the baby comes out faster. she'll help the new mom care for that.
She helps
put the baby on the schedule, whatever schedule they're going to be doing for nursing if they're doing that. Just all the sort of problems that happen that after a child is born.
God damn it. If you can't take care of a kid yourself, you have no business being a parent. Fucking a doula.
The doula helps parents out with. My cousin's a doula.
Oh,
she says
sorry.
It's very rewarding. I think she's crazy. And the last thing regarding... Oh, no, not the last thing. The other thing regarding that stupid elimination communication stupid thing that parents or hipster parents are doing.
Yeah.
What happens in
the elimination communication is when parents don't put their babies in diapers. They just watch their kid for cues that might tell them that the kid has to shit. So basically the kid just poops everywhere.
In the middle of the night. It's not like babies have sphincters that work. Like, they've
right.
got to be shitting themselves in the middle of the night if they're letting these babies go diaperless.
I don't know.
Or is this only a daytime thing? I don't know. I don't understand, but it sounds totally
It seems like so much more extra work for new parents, you know what I mean? Like, just cleaning up shit and staring at your kid constantly, waiting for them to poop.
Now the last thing, voicemail wars. I mean, there's a lot of people I like listening to. Haley's Comet, Pan... Spiral Hamfucker.
Sounds like the most hated callers are your favorites.
Chickadee, Fat Girl. But, like, for the people that I might not like as much, they're just a part of the distortion. They're just another piece of the brilliant tapestry that is the Super Freak Sideshow.
Tapestry. Thank you very much, Surly.
Hi, Tim. This is Brendan from New York. I wanted to weigh in on the whole black woman pussy smell.
Yes, please.
That was recently discussed on the show.
Very important topics on Distorted View.
I am a black woman myself, and I can definitely say for a fact that my pussy smells worse than a white woman.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I needed to know.
Hey, Timmy Boo and Freaks, this is Naughty Nipples calling.
A black woman stole my fiancé. You stole my prejudice.
Haven't called in a while. A couple of quick things, and I'll fuck off. First, morning sickness. Fucking love it. God damn it, Timmy. So creative. You keep bringing this great shit.
Great. You know, if you missed any of the morning sicknesses, you, of course, can download them from the feed. A bunch of them are posted on YouTube in glorious 720p. All right. Nice high-quality version. Catch up on all the morning sicknesses, and it will be back next week.
Fucking subscribe, asshole.
Yeah.
I need to get a second subscription. It's about time.
Hey, you know, I was going to... talk about this. Someone suggested that Morning Sickness be on its own feed. That way, it's its own video show. It's kind of separate from Distorted View. And some people don't like the huge video downloads. You know, it's like 50 megs or 70 megs at the most, I think. So if you guys care one way or the other, if you want it to have its own separate feed, let me know. If you don't want it to have its own separate feed, let me know that as well.
I have a lifetime sideshow, but I need to get a monthly.
Help
a brother out. Help out, Timmy. The second thing.
That would be great. Thank you.
Voicemail wars. You know who I fucking hate? Boy Pussy Jones.
Really?
Fuck that dude. No. I like him and the Puerto Rican fat man. You know who I miss, though, I haven't heard in a while, is Low Hanging Tanks. It was great to hear his weird voice.
Yeah, he has a great voice and a great name, Low Hanging Tanks.
Hey, Timmy Boo. Get up, Steve Dave here. I listened to your story about elimination communication, when parents make noises and, want their children to go to the bathroom and, like, a potty. And you said it's like training an animal. Actually, it is. With racehorses, what the Mexican grooms and the trainers will do is when the horse pees, they whistle. And actually then before a race, they will do the same exact whistle and force the horse to urinate.
Oh.
Which, you know, cuts down the amount of weight that they're carrying.
Do they whistle themselves or do they have a special piss whistle?
But that's exactly what it reminded me of.
Because I want to get me one of those. Okay.
I hate cats. Cats, the other white meat.
All right, someone who hates cats checking in. Thank you for that opinion.
Jagoo, Timmy Boo, loyal sideshow freak, Dr. Barry Bad Touch, freelance pediatric gynecologist. And I'm a bit behind on the morning sickness, but I just watched the one for the value mug.
Yeah.
And I have to ask, were those your hands with press-on nails, or did you actually get a woman to help you?
I can't believe you'd ask a question like that. I'm a man! But yeah, I did apply press-on nails. Those were my hands showing. It's not the first time I did that. It's such a stupid joke. Remember when I did that between the bread how to make a sandwich video? I used Lee press-on nails then, too. But I needed to show off the mug, and, you know, I needed to do it quickly, so I just did it myself. Hey, I'm a DIY kind of guy. Or drag queen, apparently. All right, that is all the time we have on this edition of the show. I want you guys to email me, show@distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail line for you, 206-666-4463. That's 206-660-GOD. Did you know, God?
I would love to rape a rooster.
Spread the distortion. Tell all your friends about the podcast. Very important. Please rate us and review us on iTunes. It takes just a second. It really does help out. If you're sideshow freaks, stick around for extended content. Otherwise, I'll see you back tomorrow for the Wednesday show. Until then, have a great day. Bye, everybody!